Today's shiur is sponsored with Zecher Nishmas, Yehuda ben Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, in the occasion of his 8th yahrzeit, sponsored by Dr. and Mrs. Moshe Breit and Mishpacha. Okay, we are up to Samach Dalel Amud Beis, but let me just get back into what we were doing. The Mishnah had said that if somebody says before he dies that he has children, he's believed. He has brothers, he's not believed. The Braisa brought a machlokes about somebody who said before he died that he has children, and then, at the time of Kedushin, he said children, and at the time of death, he changed his mind, or he said he has no brothers, and then he changed his mind. The Tanakhama said, we believe him to leave her a no yibum, and we don't believe him to make her usher. And Rav Nathan said he's believed to Aser. The question is, how do we resolve that? Chayra, our mission is not like Rav Nathan. Rav Nathan seems to say we trust the husband to Aser his wife, and our mission is that we don't. So the Gemara's answer that we're dealing with now is Abaye's answer, that our mission is talking about we knew nothing. As far as we knew, there were no children, there were no brothers. She was assumed not to need Jibo. So if he comes and strengthens that assumption, then we believe him. If he comes to contradict that assumption, right? If he comes to contradict these assumptions, we don't believe him. Because he's coming against an assumption. And the Bryce is talking about, there had been an assumption before he got married that he had brothers and no children. I mean, the assumption was that she needs Yibum. At the time of marriage, he changed that. He said he has children, or he said he doesn't have brothers. So the question is, at that point, do we believe him to change the assumption or not? To which degree do we believe to change the assumption? Rabbi says that he could have, if he wanted to just potter from Yibum, he did not have to lie. He could have just said, I will give you a get. That would have taken care of her worries, and life would have gone on. Why is he changing the assumption? Must be he's saying the truth, and therefore, he's saying the truth, we now have a new set of assumptions, so to speak, and that is that she does not need Yibum. Then, when he dies, he's coming to change that. He can't change that new assumption that he created at the time of the marriage. He created that. He changed at the time of the marriage, he changed what we assumed into a new assumption. We assumed she would need Yibum, and he went and changed it unnecessarily. He did not have to say that in order to potter from Yibum. He could have promised her a get, and he could have promised her a get in a way that it would have been guaranteed that he gave her a get. And then, therefore, he wouldn't need it to lie. So we believe him, and we have a new assumption. And the new assumption is that she doesn't need Yibum. Now, before his death, he's trying to change that new assumption. We don't let him change it. Whereas Rav Nathan says that when he changed the assumption at the time of the marriage, it wasn't concrete. It was good enough that we'll go with it. But we're not convinced that 100%, and therefore when he changes his mind before he dies, he's really reestablishing what we thought to begin with, and therefore we believe him. Because his changing of the assumptions at the time of the marriage was not strong enough to create a definite new assumption. It created enough that if nothing changed, we would go by what he said. But now that he's retracting, we say, listen, the original assumption was that she needs Yibum. All he's doing now is reinforcing the original assumption, and therefore we believe him to us or her. I want to read the Gemara inside and start from the last word on Samach Dalel Amud Aleph. Rice said, the Mukhtig Lamba Achi will have Mukhtig Lamba Bani. We thought he had brothers and didn't have children. Yaminan, so let's see Rashi right away. Dr. Rashi, the Mukhtiglan Haigav Rabahi, Velashiyash Aidim Badavar. As Rabbi Collins pointed out yesterday, it's an assumption, and that assumption would have banned her from getting married, even though there's no witnesses. And the Chazaka Ba'alma, it's assumption. Kach Shamanu Alo Kaidim Kedushin. This is what people said. The Chiyamar Bashas Kedushin Yeshli Bonam Vein Liachim. And what he said at the time of Kedushin, no, either I have children or I don't have brothers. He loved the other baby Shasmisa. We would have believed him in the time of marriage. Why would he have to lie? He could have just done given her a get to kick in the minute before he dies. What would be his incentive for lying in order to pop her from Yibum? He could say, I would give you a get, Dr. Ashi. What is he accomplishing by changing the assumption, by telling us that he has no brothers or that he has children? If he's just coming to Patra from Yibum and he would lie, he can write a get that will kick in right before he dies. Now, at the time of death, he's changing his mind. So the question is, this change of mind, can it undo what he said originally? Rabbi Sava, back to the Gemara. Rabbi holds Mali Vishaka ki Aitam Gabi. The Migu, why should I lie? I could have said a different thing, is almost like Adam. I know the Gemara says it's like Adam, but it's not Adam because it's not the strength of two Adam. But it's strong enough to be us the Adam Bakr Kazaka. It changes the assumption totally. We now have a new assumption, and he can't change that new assumption before he dies. And therefore, we leave it with the new assumption that he created through his belief through Migu. He could have said, I will give her a get, and written a get in a way that would kick him before he dies. Therefore, there was no reason for him to lie. That's strong enough to create a new assumption that he can't undo. Rashi, Rabbi Sabar Mali Lushakar, the Bishaf Kedushin at the time of marriage, it's like Adam came. The Akar Leila Chazaka, it's like Adam came. Key word like. The Akar Leila Chazaka, and that uprooted our assumption that we said we thought he had brothers and no children. Because ours was an assumption. His is a migu, a belief. He has a reason. We have a reason to believe him. The Kaimalan Hachitza Bechas Yishayin Eskuka. Yes, we now created a new set of circumstances. Now, everybody says this woman will not need Yibum. Now, all of a sudden, he wants to change his mind, right, at the time of death. He can't change the established assumption without having a Migu. And at this point, he has no Migu. Because how could he make her again eligible for Yibum? The only way he can do it is by saying it, so he's not believed. Back to the Gemara. Rav Nassim Savar, Mali Vashakir Chazaka Dami. Mali Vashakir, the meager strength is not enough to make it as if the first assumption is gone and never to be reborn again. All it is while he's saying this, we believe him. But now when he changed his mind, he's really agreeing to our first assumption. Le'asi Chazaka V'akir Chazaka Legamri. When he came and changed this, when he established his new set of facts, it didn't really uproot it completely. It did enough that we would believe it if we didn't hear anything else. But the minute we hear him change his mind, we said, well, that's what we always thought anyway. And therefore we go with that, and we don't let her get married. But it has nothing to do with our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, she had a chazaka of no yibum. And therefore, everybody would agree he can't make her usher to the world. Rashi, Rav Nassim Savar, by Asir Chazaka the Malo Lishakar, the new established assumption that's created by his Migu, why should he lie? Malo Lishakar is a way of saying, if I wanted to lie, why would I lie if I could say to do something without lying? But Akur Chazaka Kamai said, this is uprooted completely. That we went with before marriage. Ra'ukma Lahak Bechaskashayn Eskuka. To create her, to establish her as a woman that doesn't need Yibum, enough so, that we ignore his words at the time of death. Now, Rashi has a problem. So why, if he didn't say anything at the time of death, do we go by what he said in Bashas Kedushin? So, Rashi, had he not changed his mind, we would have accepted his words at the time of Kedushin. Granted that we're not willing to ignore the first assumption totally, but Uri Mias Roy, but it definitely got weakened, and we believe the second one unless we have a reason to go back to the first one. As long as that first words are not being contradicted, Mehaman is believed. Why? So Rashi is saying, so why believe him at all? If you're saying that his words are not strong enough to uproot the Chazaka, so ignore his words at the time of Kedushin. The answer is, he has no benefit to lie. There's no benefit in him to lie. But you say, Achi Abahadim Bebishas Misa. And he always knows that he could change his mind. And therefore, according to Rav Nassim, we are not convinced that when he said it at the time of marriage, that established a new set of facts totally. Enough so that we would go with it, but not enough so that it can't be retracted. And therefore, when he retracts it, we ask her to get married. Rabbi holds.
How is the Mishnah? The Mishnah.
Yeah, because the Mishnah is talking about the working assumption has been he has no brothers and no kids, no Yibum necessary. That was the working assumption. There is no assumption of Yibum. There's an assumption of no Yibum. So when he comes at the time of death and wants to undo the assumption, we don't believe him. Whereas if he comes to reinforce the assumption, we believe him. Because the person is not believed to undo an assumption unless he has a migu. At the time of death, he doesn't have that migu. So he wants to undo an assumption that we always assumed. We don't believe him. Whereas in the case of the Brisa, he undid an assumption. He undid an assumption based on his migu. Now he wants to put that first assumption back into play. Rebbe says he can't because we uprooted it. We sent it into the garbage can. And we have a new assumption, and he can't undo that. And Rav Nassim says, we didn't totally throw it out. We pushed it to the side, knowing that one day he might change his mind again, and we'll go with that first assumption, which is exactly what happened at the time of his death.
In both cases, there was an assumption. It was just a different assumption.
Right. Makes a big difference. So the case of the Mishnah, he's coming at the time of his death to undo an assumption. He can't undo an assumption. In the case of the Brisa, he undid an assumption at the time of Kedushin, and there he was able to do it based on the fact of the migul that he could write her again. So the reason we allow him to undo that assumption in the Brisa wasn't because a person can come along and say something that undoes an assumption. The reason we believed him is because he was backed up with the power of migul. Now the question is, so now he created new assumption based on his migul. How strong is that new assumption? Is that 100%, like 100%? And therefore, just like in our Mishnah, he can't change an assumption at the time of his death. He can't change it in the Brisa. He can't change that new assumption that he created through his migul. Or we did have an original assumption that he changed. And even though he changed it, we're not 100% convinced that his change is permanent. And therefore, if he comes back and reverses it, we say, well, he's just reinforcing what we thought to begin with, and we believe him at the time of death. The difference in the Mishnah and the Brisa, is there an assumption that he needed Jibum? In the case of the Mishnah, there never was one. In the case of the Brisa, there was one. Is it gone or is it not gone? Rebbe said at the time of marriage, he put that assumption to rest. Out of here. Now we have a new assumption, she doesn't need Jibum, so it's exactly like the case of the Mishnah. We're working with our new assumption, he can't change it at the time of death. The Nassim says, we did not throw away that old assumption totally. Yes, we went with the new one, but in the back of our mind, we knew it's still reversible. And therefore, when he reverses it at the time of death, we go back to the old assumption. Not uprooting an assumption, he is returning to the original assumption. And therefore, we believe him. That's the Mishnah Vayter. Now, this Mishnah we had before, at least a good part of it. Yes.
That's what.
Yeah, but if you don't mind speaking up.
That means that he knew about the rumor all along.
Well, when he got married, he was well aware that people were saying he has no brothers and no children, correct? Sorry, that he has brothers and no children.
Would that make a difference if people just talk behind his back and he never found out about it?
I don't know. I don't think people will talk about behind his back about this. You know, it's It's what everybody, again, I can't answer the question. I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Mishnah Vaita, we had this Mishnah before, and we're having it again now. Hamakadish has bidai stam. If a guy says to a person, man comes over to says, I'd like to marry one of your daughters. And the father says, oh, I'll accept kedushin for one of my daughters. Ein habaygris b'chlal. Now, it does not include girls over 12 and a half. We don't know why yet. The simple assumption in the Mishnah is because a father can't marry off his over 12 and a half year old daughter. So when he accepts kedushin for his daughter, he can't be accepting it for the 12 and a half year old. He can only be accepting it for the younger one. So therefore, the only ones that are in the suffix are the younger ones. Now, if you remember, taking us back a while, we had a Shaila kind of guy. There's no clarity which daughter he accepted the Kedushin for. This is called the Kedushin She'em Mesurim Leviyah. He would never be able to, this marriage would never be able to be consummated. Let's say he has two daughters, one 9 and one 11. Then he has an older one, a 13. So he's saying when he accepts the Kedushin for his daughter, the 13-year-old is not included. But the 9 and 11 might be either one of the two, and therefore they would both need a get. That gets into Kedushin Shem Mesurim Labia, which we had in Machlekes Abaye and Rabba. Kind of person can make a Kedushin in one of sisters without clarifying which one, because he'll never be able to consummate the marriage, because it might be his wife's sister. So Rabba said no, and we asked on Rabba from this very Mishnah. The Gemara is going to repeat the question on Rabba and give the same answer it gave back about 13 blot ago. Hamakadosh is bitistam, ein habaygris b'chlal. Zok Rashi. Hamakadosh is bitistam, biti mukadesh as well. He says, my daughter is mukadesh to you. V'loy pirish, ein mehem. He didn't say which daughter. Ein habaygris b'chlal. Muteres b'chol adam, she's muter to every man. V'ein tzvich haget, and she doesn't need a get mizah. Why? V'sheinim b'shusav v'katsha. Because he has no right to marry her off. Therefore, there's no reason to assume that she's married. He can't do it. That's Pashup Shat in the Mishnah. The Gemara will deal with another Pshat. So according to Rava, why in the world are the Katanas included? Nobody should be included. And that's going to be the Gemara's Kash. Dr. Gemara Vait, Mishnah Vait. Nishi Eshkoi Shteki.
Why should Noah be included?
Because it's Kedushin She'em Mesurim Labia. If a guy, this was a Shaila we had back in the second Perek. Somebody walks over to and says, I'm being Mekadesh, one of the two sisters. And he doesn't tell us which one. Rava says, neither is Mekadeshus, because this marriage can't be consummated. Because when he lives with one, it might be his wife's sister. Therefore, since this marriage cannot be consummated, the Kedushin is not Chal. That's what Rava said. A Kedushin Shem Mr. Labiyah, it's not a Kedushin, whereas Abaye said it is. This Mishnah proves Abaye right, because it seems to say the 13-year-old is not included, but all the girls under 12 and a half are included in the Suffolk. According to Rava, nobody is Suffolk. Nobody is Mukadesha. You can't have a Kedushin that can't be consummated. And the Gemara is going to ask the Kasha. The Gemara asked it then, and the Gemara is going to re-ask it again here. Zuck the Mishnah Vaitre.
Rabbi, I'm sorry. I don't understand in this first sentence of the Mishnah. What's the Havamina? Why would you think that he had the power to do Kedushin for his adult daughters? What's
there the Havamina? The Kiddush of the Mishnah, in simple words, are that the Ketanais are all Suffolk. The inference is the Kiddush. The Baigris is not included, but all Ketanas are included, which is not like Rava.
So that the would word be is just to exclude the Ketanas. Okay.
Exactly. Multiple Ketanas. That's the finish. That he has multiple younger daughters. Because if he only had one younger daughter, this Mishnah would be no Kiddush at all.
Okay.
Mishi Eshle Shteki Tebonas. Somebody has two sets of daughters. He had two wives. Mishnei Nashim, an older set, a younger set. The Yamani said, Kedashti es biti agdaila. I married off my older daughter. Now, older daughter, question is, what does that mean? There are four daughters here. There's the oldest of the oldest set, the younger of the oldest set, which is older than the second set, the oldest of the second set. The only one that's not older is number four. So the Eini Yedei and Gdailus Shem Gdailus, and then Gemara can explain, he doesn't remember whether he married off the oldest, or Gdailus Shem Gdailus, or the oldest of the younger set, Gdailus Shem Gdailus, Gdailus and Gdailus Shem Gdailus, or the youngest of the first set, who's still older than the older one of the second set. So he said, my older daughter, it could be one of three, and he doesn't remember which one he meant. Kulan Asuras, Chutzman Akanas Shemitanas. They're all Asur, except for the youngest, Divir Emeir. Rabbi Yaisi Emer, Rabbi Yaisi says, no. Kulan Mutaris, they're all Mutar, Chutzman Akdailas Shemitanas. Rabbi Yaisi says that when people speak, there's a clarity. He said older, but he said my older daughter, he meant the oldest one. He would not refer to any of the other two, even though they are older, but that's not how he would refer to it, because then he's leaving himself wide open to which one it is. Whereas the other way, he's clear. And Rabbi Yaisi says people use their words with clarity. Older means oldest. My older daughter means my oldest daughter. Right, which in Hebrew we say Gdaila. It wouldn't be like in English older and oldest. And same thing is true the other way. When a person says Kedashti es biti haktana, now three of these girls can be referred to as Ktana. The youngest, the oldest of the second set is younger than the first set. The younger of the first set is younger than the oldest. So which one did he mean? So Kedashti es biti haktana ve'eini yedei haktana shebiktanas. The youngest, Akanish of Igdailus, or the younger one in the first set, Igdailus of Akanis, or the older one in the second set, Shikanam and Akanish of Igdailus, Kulan Asuras Chutzman Igdailus of Igdailus. Then Rameir says three can fit into the interpretation. Therefore, we don't know which one he could have been either one of the three, he doesn't remember, and therefore, they're all Safik Mugadashas. B'Yaisiyayim Rakulam Mutaris, Chutzman Akkadish of Akkadish, for the same reason, because people speak with clarity. Kana means my youngest, not younger. Rashi. Mushtei Nashim. Shanasa Shnei Lachem is the Surishayna. He married the second one after the first one died. Now, I don't know why Rashi needs to have the first one died. Too many divorced the second one. I don't know why they can't be married to them at the same time. He has two wives, one that produced an older set, the one that produced a younger set. Maybe Rashi is just giving you an example. I didn't understand what Rashi is trying to teach me. The Dailas, Katsuri Shaina, the first set, Katanas Kachnia, the second set, Kulan Asuras, Kasakadai, the Kapilai Meya. At this point, we would think that even if he had 100 daughters, they would all be Asur, except the youngest one. Each one is called older than the one younger than it. Why doesn't the Mishnah bring in the middle, that he has three daughters of each woman, there's six daughters, and say all five are usher? Why are we just talking about two in each set? Why don't we mention the third in each set? That would have been the Gemara saying a bigger Kiddush. They're saying that five of the six daughters are Aser. The Gemara is going to ask. The Gemara is going to explain. Kula Mataris. The Remachas Inish Lameimer. A person does not enter to say, Milsa, Deleisi Leide Shailu L'Chachamim. He won't use words that won't be clear. I mean, sometimes they do, but not when we have a clear interpretation. And if Yama Gdaila, Gdaila should be Gdaila's Kamar. If he used the word Gdaila, he must have meant the older daughter. Dr. Kamar, and this is the yes.
The Rashi says that the first wife died Perhaps it's because he wanted to clarify that the ages should not be intermingled. You're for sure certain that there's a set of older and a set of younger.
Okay, he could have had a divorce. I don't know why he needed that, but good thing. You're right.
Right.
Thus, my advice to Hoktanis McClough. The Mishnah seems to infer that even though he had multiple younger daughters, they're all Suffolk Mugadeshas. Shlamet Minah, Kedushin Shemus from Libya, the Kedushin. That teaches me that a Kedushin that cannot be consummated is a Kedushin. Because if not, neither of the daughters, no younger daughter should be Mugadeshas, because we won't know which one, and therefore each one might be his wife's sister. Rashi, Hoktanas Bechlau, Hokigasina. Even if they're two younger daughters, you can have a suffix which one it is. It's a kedushin that's not consummatable. Each one is a suffix of being his wife's sister. Still, it's considered a suffix kedushin, and it needs a get. So that's the Chiddush in the Mishnah, because as Harvey pointed out, there is no other Chiddush in the Mishnah. Why in the world would I think that the Baigrus is Bechal? Obviously, he can't be Mekadosh's older daughter, so obviously it means his younger daughter. Must be the Mishnah is trying to tell me, even multiple younger daughters. If not, there's no Chiddush. And for the Gemara, the Gemara gives the answer, there's only one younger daughter and one older daughter. Now, before the Gemara asks, what's the Chiddush in the Mishnah, the Gemara asks, but the words don't say it, because Baigrois Ktani, because his older daughters aren't included, right? So, Mashmi, he has older daughters, that would mean he has younger daughters, like not that there's only one. And for the Gemara, my Baigrois the Alma. In many cases, there's many older daughters, but in each of these cases, there's only one older daughter and one younger daughter. So if that's the case, what the Mishnah is telling me is simple. Baigrus, Ma'avi Detayu. What in the world is Baigrus about? Of course she's not included. And of course the Ktana is. Mishlaim, if you learn, they're multiples. So the Chiddush is that the multiples are Suffolk Mugadeshas. But if you learn there are no multiples, you learn there's only one. So obviously, it's obvious that that's the one that's going to be Mukadashis, and the Baigrus is not included. There would be no Chiddush. And for the Gemara, Hakam and Mayaskinan, here we're talking about the Shav Yishliach. We had this Gemara earlier, for those who remember, that the Baigrus had asked him, do me a favor, find me a husband. So now, he has the power to marry off his younger daughter, which is his mitzvah, and he has the power to marry off his older daughter, because she asked him, as an agent, to go marry her off. So maybe she's in the mix. And maybe it's a suffix whether which one he meant. And according to Rava, neither would be Mugadeshes. And according to Abaya, both would need a get. It's Kamara, right? Klash Malan. Leshavik Inish Midid Islehanaminai. Person does not leave something that he has pleasure because he makes the money of the Ktana. The money belongs to him. Babad Midid Islehanaminai. And do something that he has no pleasure, because by the Baigrus, she has the money. And therefore, why would he do something that he doesn't make money? It makes sense that he's being Mekabel Kedushin for the one that he makes money. Frek the Gemara, Milo Yaskin and Darmele Kedushilach. Aren't we talking about that she said to him, you can keep the money? So he makes money either way. So why is she not included? Dr. Gemara, the Chiddush is, a person does not leave a mitzvah that's incumbent on him, even though he's a shliach for her, but it's not his mitzvah. His mitzvah is to marry off his ktana. Therefore, we say that's the one that's foremost on his mind, and the baigus is not bechlal, and that's the chiddush in the Mishnah. So there is two ways to learn our Mishnah. According to Abaye, there are multiple younger ones, and there are multiple older ones. And the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though the older ones aren't included, all younger ones are suffix, and he would have to give each one a get. And according to Rava, there's only one younger one and one older one, but the older one made him a shliach and said, keep the money. So I would think he could be either of the two. and therefore they both would be not Mekadeshes, because whoever holds you can't be Mekadesh one of two. Kamash Malan, that a person's mind is his younger daughter, and it's not a suffix. He definitely meant his younger daughter, and she's the one that's Mekadeshes, and the older daughter is not Mekadeshes at all. Rashi, she'ein sham elukatay elukatay. I just want to warn the Eilam. My phone is low. I think it'll last to the end of this year. But there is a possibility that it might just conk out on me. And I don't have another phone available. So let's hope for the best. She'ein sham elukatay elukatana. Baigris luktana. Even the baigris like Kiddush, since he didn't make the Kiddush for the Begeris, she'ein kan suffik. There's only one daughter left. A Musa Bektana. But by grace study, Tamash Matuba, Tamash Memeni, the Chvasi Tedek, and therefore similarly, you will infer Haktanas Tuba Bechlau. The many Ktanas are included. By grace the Alma, Shkol Ish V'ish HaMekadshim Es B'neseyem. Stam, in many cases of men who are Mekadish their daughters without telling us exactly which one, Eina by grace Bechlau, Haktanas Bechlau. Like in the Lekha Lechad Haktanas. In each of these cases, there's only one of each. One Gdaila, one Ktana. V'haydi Matayat Yusha'in Shem L'Gdaila Ktana. Who are then the Abibagris Tuba? It's not the older ones. I don't care how many older ones they have. Even Neina B'Klal, they're not included. The Ktana have a L'Kedush. It's only the one Ktana. And L'Ochi Nachas Achas Gabibagris, the reason we say there's one older one, so the Bodhman made the Ktanas from the Gdaila, because we want to say that the Ktana is similar to the Gdaila, so we can't have many older and one younger, because the Mishnah seems to infer that as many older and as many younger. So if there are multiples, there are multiples. So therefore we say it's one older one and one younger one. Shita, the Kivish ain't some of the Gdaila Ktana Kakrashi. It's an obvious thing. The Gdaila ain't a Mukadashis, Ktana Mukadashis. Maya Vidite Da'av, the Bita Begris. What's he doing with his older daughter? Now Rashi explains, if you say there are many younger old daughters, many older daughters, it's a Lashmina Mishnah Yukadi Day. The Siddush of the Mishnah would be the inference of Ktanas Baklal, that the multiple Ktanas are included in the suffix, the memory of the Ktanas, the Kedush and Shem Mesurim Labia. The Kedush and they're not Mesurim Labia, how the Kedush is considered a Kedush. I don't need it, and I don't need the deer. There's no chiddush at all. Of course, the begeris is not included, and the one ktana is. The answer is, she made him a shliach. I would think adaita didah mekabel v'avhi b'safik, and she's also in the safik, and therefore, v'avah l'kedushin shem b'surim l'miyah, k'mash malan, therefore comes to teach me that she's not in the safik. This lehana, Shekesav Kedushah Shalai. He keeps the money of the Kedushin of the Kana. And the Gemara said, but he wouldn't keep the money of the Gdaila. Dr. Gemara Miloy Eskin and Kushi is a Krashi, it's a Kasha. Shalamash Menamim Mafnisin, isn't the mission including Dafila Amr Loy Kedushi Yishalach? Even if the older one said, keep my money. Study Nami Dena Baigas Mechlau, she's not included? Why not? Amishani, in, yes. Avilachi Lishavik in Ishbita Kanya. The Ram Yalayla Asiyah, that's an incumbent on him to marry her off, Umitzahu Olav, the Siv, that's when they say him to Nulan Hashim, marry your daughters off to men, the Loy Ram Yalay, Oshliyah Valmo, he has for Das, for Hesiyah Sasma, and she has a Das to marry herself off. So therefore, it's not incumbent on him. By the way, as an aside, and I should have said this when we learned the Gemara last time, it's really a chiddush here, because the pasuk says, "Tenuas menaseichem l'nashim, banashim, got the lashon of the pasuk. I have it on the side here. Let me see what it says. It quotes the pasuk on the side. No, it does, because it's in Rashi, not in the Gemara. But it says, take for your sons women and give your daughters to men." The pasuk says both. Now, there's never a mitzvah for a father to marry off his son when she's a katan. Obviously, the mitzvah is to marry off his son when he's a gadol. It's one of the mitzvahs a father has. Marry your son off. That was one of the mitzvahs now of Tesa Medalov. The Mishnah listed a father's obligations to his son, and one of them is to find him a wife. Now he's finding his wife for his adult son, who can find one himself. That's a mitzvah. And that same pasuk says, find husbands for your daughters. For some reason, the Gemara seems to think that only applies till she can find one herself. Once he can find one herself, it's not incumbent on him anymore. Why is it different than his adult son that he has a mitzvah to marry off? Why doesn't he have a mitzvah? The same pasuk that tells us, find a wife for your son, also says, find a husband for your daughter. Yet the Gemara seems to be content with saying that that part of the pasuk is talking about a ketana. Since when she's a gedayla, she has her own das, right? Well, the son also has his own das, and yet there's a mitzvah. The only thing I can think of is that it's not the same level mitzvah. Yes, there is a mitzvah to marry off your older daughter, just like there's a mitzvah to marry off your older son. But it's not the same because the daughter could do it herself, whereas your younger daughter is powerless. So therefore, it's a bigger mitzvah by her. But the Gemara's lashon is the mitzvah de lo yiram yaleh. And Rashi says, the way Rashi explains it, because she has das to marry herself off.
So,
Rashi
so
makes this
goes,
an explanation. Yes.
Oh, so, you know, I don't. Why is there a difference? Why should be a difference?
His phone's dead, Rashi.
Again, I'm not understanding which part you're questioning.
I just, let me say, why is it, the son could also marry himself off. Why all of a sudden, you know, it can't be that, there is a mitzvah for the son to marry off the father, the father marry off the son.
Yes, there is.
So what happened to the mitzvah to marry off his adult daughter?
That was the question that was bothering me.
Right.
It's exactly what was bothering me. And therefore, I said, that it might not be the same level mitzvah. It is a mitzvah, just like it's a mitzvah to marry off a son. Right.
Why isn't it the same level?
Because one has their own, it's the same level as a son, but it's not the same level as a younger daughter who can't do anything herself.
But Rabbi, doesn't Pirkei Avos say that we're not allowed to determine which is the important mitzvah and which isn't?
No, you're right. It's not for us to determine the important mitzvah or not important mitzvah. Again, this is the kash I brought up. I didn't know that was bothering me also, because that same pasuk that says marry up your daughter says marry up your son, which is automatically an adult. Right. But then again, give me just 1 minute. I see if anybody has the question. That was my question. That was what bothering me. I thought maybe it's a bigger mitzvah, but I don't know what the source of that would be anyway. I don't know. I'll leave it as a fact that I don't know. The Gemara earlier described the mitzvah of marrying off a daughter is to provide her with enough dowry that should make her attractive to people. Because the Gemara said it's easier to find a wife for your son than it is to find a husband for your daughter. And the Gemara said, Mishlei, my wife for your son is easy. But a wife for your daughter is harder. The Gemara said, your mitzvah is to make her attractive by putting money around her or doing something that would want make men want to marry your daughter. Chaira, I don't know why wouldn't apply to an adult daughter. It's no different than an adult son, unless, I don't know, it might be a monetary, I don't know. Rashi doesn't say, so it's hard for me to answer. I don't know. I don't know the answer to the question. That's the goodbye,
Mike.
I'm sorry?
I'd like to ask a question. In general,
yes, if you don't mind speaking up. Rabbi, so you have to speak up.
Okay, I'll try one more time. We try to clarify what the father meant by saying the youngest. So what happens if the father says, I don't care what I said, I don't know what people say, but I meant so-and-so daughter, not the one that you think.
So, again, okay, fine, it's a good question. We addressed this once before. The Edom, a time of Kedushin, have to know what the words mean. When people are standing there, they have to understand, what is he saying? It cannot be clarified later on. At the time of Kedushin, people have to know what those words mean. According to a mayor, those words can mean any one of his daughters, besides the very youngest. And according to the Rabbi Yossi, the words mean the oldest. That's what the words mean. That's what the Edom heard. You know, everything, it's all in the word. Again, I'm going in the next case. I'm sorry?
His intention is not important. His intention is unnecessary. It's nullified, his intention.
I don't understand what you're saying. Again, Edom have to understand. Rabbi, I can't. You have to either come closer to the phone or something. I can't hear you.
I'll try my best. His intention was for a different daughter. So no matter what the...
He broke up. Can't hear him.
We cannot hear the question.
I think what he's trying to ask is why can't he clarify what he meant later on and say, I meant the bigrus.
Yeah.
And the answer is because the Edom understood it one way. You can't clarify. If a guy comes in and says, I'm a Kaddish Leah, and he says, I meant Rachel, would it mean anything? He said, Harry, apokadashously. Harry, Leah, mukadashously. 5 minutes later, he said, oh, I made a mistake. I thought her name was Rachel. I said the wrong name. Would we believe him?
So
could he clarify that?
What's the mission of mean by SBT Kidashti? When is he saying this statement? When is he making this declaration? At what point?
Adam say that they heard him say, I am a Kaddish, my Biti Agdaila. He doesn't remember which one he said at the time. I mean, the Edom aren't here, I should say that. He's telling us, I accepted Kedushin from my daughter in front of Edom. Right? He has four daughters under Bas Mitzvah, under Bageras. And he said, I accepted my Kedushin from my older daughter, and I don't remember which. I remember I said older, but I don't remember which one I said.
And the Edom are not here to clarify his words. Okay.
The Edom are not here to clarify. So according to the BIC, there's no doubt. Use the word older, it means oldest. Again, see, we speak English, so there's a difference between older and oldest. In Hebrew, it's all G'dayla. There's no oldest. It can mean all far. But according to the BIC, it cannot. Because Gedaila is only referred to the oldest daughter. You don't use the word Gedaila. You know, in today's world, we like to make people feel good. So you'd call your third oldest daughter, you would call her older to make her feel like $1 million. But Rabbi Yossi is saying people don't talk that way. People use the word Gedaila reserved for the oldest. They use the word Katana reserved for the youngest. And everybody else is referred to by name, not by Gedaila, not by Katana, because they're not oldest and not youngest. And Rameir says, no, Three of them can be referred to as Gedaila, and three of them can be referred to as Ktana. There's only one that's not Gedaila, and there's only one that's not Ktana. It's a question, do people speak with, when they use the word Gedaila, without clarity or with clarity? This is a machoikah that the Gemara is going to expand to other words that can have two interpretations, one clear and one not so clear. Do people use a non-clear interpretation, or do people mean the clear interpretation? This is a machoikah. Something my right. I need both cases. I mean, the Gemara wants to know why we're repeating this twice in the Mishnah, once with Gaila and once with Ktana. The Yashmina Kamais, I would say, Bahach Kamar Remeir, the Kiva Dekizutramina, since he's a younger one, Lahak Gaila Kaila. He likes to call all his daughters older, makes them feel better. So therefore, he'll use the word Gaila unclarified. He might mean any one of the three. Abu Baha, even by the letter of Yaisi, the Kana Lahak Kana the Kula Kaila. But youngest is a insult, so to speak. You're a young girl. You're not, you know. Maybe he wouldn't do that only to the youngest. I would say Rabbi Yaisi only argues in the word younger, but you don't use it for girls that are older. But maybe by older you do use it. Tricha, that's why I need both cases. Rashi, become a Rameir, yes, kul mesafik, yishvach ol adam, it's a praise, likres bita b'lashim g'dayla. Makes girls feel good to be called Gzaila. Avoktana aim by the Rabbi Yaisi. The Chosu Yachol Likres Mito Gzaila ain't Kari Isaac Tana. If he can call her Gzaila, he doesn't call her Tana. Fine. Okay, I just want to check. I hope, Dr. Harris, that Sunday is worked out.
Avram Cohn is doing Sunday. That was what we talked about.
Yeah,
Avram is the only one capable of doing it. If he doesn't step up, then there will be no shear on Sunday, Rebbe.
Fine. That's one thing, number one. And number two, I just wanted to mention a story with Rebbe Einkels that somebody once came to Rebbe Einkels and he said he introduced his older daughter, 20-some years old, as his baby. And she doesn't want to speak to him anymore because he called her baby. What should he do now? So Rabbi Yanku said, tell her to come to my house 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning. So the girl shows up 11 o'clock Wednesday morning to Rabbi Yanku come and ask his house. And he's learning with his youngest son, Avram, who was then in his mid-50s or 40s. And Avram, and they welcome this woman in. And Rabbi Yanku says, let me introduce you. This is my baby, Avram. And he then continues the conversation. So he called his son a baby, just to make the girl feel that Rabbi Yankov calls his youngest son baby. So that would take away her anger at her father. And on that note, everybody have a wonderful Shabbos. And Baruch Hashem, I'll be back in person on Monday morning.
I think she needs therapy, personally, Rabbi, so whatever.